I am very excited to introduce our guest speaker this morning. His name is Greg. He's the guy in the suit I was pointing out earlier. But he's one of the henches. If you've lived in Carlisle for any extended period of time, you've met some henches. Bill and Melinda used to be here. My wife is a hench, which I find a blessing to be married into the hench family. But I love it. Greg is the first hench I ever met. When I was 14 years old, he was hosting youth group in his garage. And he said, I'll never forget this, and I'm sure you still say it to people. He said, "Hi, my name is Greg." And I said, "Hi, my name is Tanner." And he said, "I'm not going to remember that. And don't be offended." Like, that was, I was like, okay, that's great. Because I totally would forget his name too. But I remembered because you were weird about it. So it was great. But please welcome Greg as he comes and shares. He's a pastor over across town, over at the First Church of God. Yes. And yeah, he's going to be great. So thanks.
Yeah, he didn't sound too excited about that whole, you know, yeah, married a hench, did he? So, one, you know, a lot of speakers come out and they're like, "Hey, the worship was really good." I always think it's something nice that they say. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it. You two working together, man, nice job, nice job. So I thought, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. That's my wife right there. She looks very young. She looks much younger than me. And but no, that's her in fifth grade about. My wife had my mother as her Sunday school teacher. I have an arranged marriage. My mother had Beth whenever she was in fifth grade, and she's like, "I don't care which one of my sons marry this girl, but I want somebody to marry this kid." My mom loved Beth. Therefore, that made me the favorite son when I finally got to marry her. And you look at this picture, I know what you're thinking. Man, Greg looks old compared to her. Keep those thoughts to yourself quietly, I would ask you. This is the whole hench gang. It's easy to know one of them because we've all stayed, except for one family member, in the Carlisle area. This is my pride and joy. These are my granddaughters. My name is indeed Paul. I love taking naps. My grandchildren are too big for that now, but I got one on the way for my son, so I got some more cool naps coming up soon. I'm hoping this is my next youth van that we have at our church. If all you make some donations, that'd be cool. I think we'd look cool running around that. But I'm a model, and I'm an international speaker. I'll spare the modeling story, but the international speaker, I've spoken in Haiti. I've spoken in Dominican. There are only about three Dominicans in the congregation. Most were Americans. But I got my hair cut in Mexico, and I talked to that guy. So, way I figure, I'm an international speaker. That's my crew. And the young lady to the right, Matt's, she's the one who is pregnant now with their first child. That is the cutest baby picture I could find of any of my grandchildren. I love it. So I don't know. I'm used to speaking to teenagers. So imagine yourself 15, all right? So if you're not enjoying this yet, now put yourself in a 15-year-old bracket. You might enjoy this a little bit more. But, you know, kids have this thing. They're like, "Oh, yeah, my spirit animal is this." And so I got to thinking, I ran across these pictures. That's my Gracie's spirit animal. I'm just like, man, that looks like her. And Abigail, that is totally her. And that is the reaction I get everywhere because I'm telling you, it fits those two little faces. So I turned 68 this past July. I know what you're thinking. Man, he looks good. Okay, I'm a liar. I turned 60, but I like people to think I look better than what I am. And but weird things happen at age 60. My eyebrows have turned into caterpillars. I want eyebrows like that, so I'm jealous of hers. I look more like Andy Rooney. Ear hair grows at 60. That's if I did not trim for you all today, I would have looked kind of like that. And but there's plenty more unique things about me because, after all, I am a hench. Recently, I was in the Dominican for a failed mission trip. We were supposed to get out for a mission trip. It failed. So this is a little infomercial, okay? And I went to this area on the beach. It looks kind of like this. It was quite ghetto-ish looking compared to everything else where I was at. And when I went back, I talked to my interpreter, and she said to me, she said, "Did you see any children working on the beach down there?" I said, "I did not." She said, "Well, those are usually the kids that are sold at night into prostitution." and it lit a fire in me. What was a failed mission trip has turned into something much greater. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you're not doing anything tonight, 6 o'clock, I'm speaking at my church, Carlisle First Church of God, about human trafficking, and I am out to make a difference. So it was not a failed trip whatsoever. So that's tonight at 6 o'clock. And also, I would love to come here and share what I have, because my goal is to do something about it. Let's pray. God, I lift up this message, although we will laugh, although we will have some fun. God, don't let me lose anybody in the humor, but let us get to that message that you have for us out of your word. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So, I like sin. I do. I don't like to admit it. I don't like to say it. But apparently I do because I keep on doing it, right? Well, bad news, you like sin, and unfortunately these two like sin also. Yes. You're all just lucky I don't have your Facebook accounts. Your pictures would have been up there too. So, my beautiful granddaughters love sin. You know how I know that? I spend time with them. They are little angels, it gets ugly. I see sin come out in my granddaughters, and I don't like it. I love their preciousness when I get to be around them. So I got to thinking about this whole subject of what is sin like? What is sin like? Well, sin is like oatmeal cookies. It's like oatmeal cookies. I walk out into the kitchen, and I see a Ziploc bag of oatmeal cookies on the counter, and I'm like, yeah, I can eat a cookie. They're okay. I like oatmeal cookies. I'll eat one of those. And so that's like what I call the first level of sin, is the oatmeal cookie. The second level of sin is peanut butter pie. Mm-hmm. So somebody makes me a peanut butter pie. You know, the beauty of working at a church with a lot of older folks, sometimes you get good things like that. And so I get a peanut butter pie. Somebody makes me a peanut butter pie, and I receive it gladly. I take it home, put it in the fridge. I get it out. You know, you got to undo all those little tabby, that little whole thingy around the tin plate, right? And I take the lid off, slice a piece, put it on a plate, and get a fork, and I fold it back up. I put it back in the fridge, and I eat it with a fork, and it's delicious. Then I go back out in the kitchen, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the peanut butter pie. And I get back in there, and I take the lid off, and I just start eating it right out of the pan. And then I put it in the fridge, but I don't close those tabs back around because that takes too much work. And, you know, I'm out in the dining room, and I'm like, I hear this, Greg, I'm in the fridge. It's the peanut butter pie calling my name. And I'm like, all right. I head back into the peanut butter pie. I just slide the lid off, and I'm eating it straight out of the refrigerator. And then I don't even slide the lid back on it. And after a while, though, you know what? I'm just eating that stuff to get rid of it. But I will hear peanut butter pie calling my name. I call that level 2 sin. And then there's the third level, tapioca pudding. No. Not that garbage. That stuff. The real stuff. The real thing. Man, let me just tell you what. Tapioca pudding does not have to call my name. I call its name. I'm like, oh, tapioca pudding. I love my tapioca pudding hot. As soon as it's done being made, I'm ready to dig into it. Had a lady make me a bowl about that size, and I'm telling you what, I love it. I crave it. I beg for it. I'll be in the dining room and I'll be saying, tapioca pudding, I'm coming. I'm coming. I love you. I made it last. This big bowl, I made it last for like 4 or 5 days. That's only because I am a very disciplined man. I could have ate the whole thing in 2 days, no sweat. But I call this level 3 sin. In case any of y'all want to make me any of my level 3 sin, 9 High Street, Boiling Springs. You can just drop it by my house. That would be cool. But you know what sin is not like? For me. I had a heckler on this once when I was speaking. Well, it's not like this stuff. It's not like broccoli. You know, if sin were like broccoli, I would never sin. I would be perfect in all my ways. There is zero temptation. That does not call my name. I do not call its name. The only thing that stuff is good for in my book is vacation Bible school. To make a craft out of it. You know what sin is not like? It's not like that stuff. Cauliflower. Oh, that's disgusting. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't even like this stuff cooked in the same kitchen that anything else of mine is going to be cooked in. Because if cauliflower, if sin were like cauliflower, people just be going like, oh, Greg, you're so holy, man. You are just so amazing. You never sin, do you? No, I don't. Not if it were like this, I wouldn't. But sin's not like that. It's like oatmeal cookies and peanut butter pie and like tapioca pudding. Level one, the cookies. Sometimes you get caught up into something. Sometimes you walk into something. Sometimes you go, and some people are in the middle of a conversation that you shouldn't be in the middle of, and you kind of just, all of a sudden, you're like, and you walk away, and you're like, ah, oh, why'd I do that? You didn't enjoy it much while you were in it. That's level one. Peanut butter pie, that's next level. That's where it's calling to you. Peanut butter pie is like calling to you and say, come on, man, get involved in this. Come and do this. But tapioca pudding, full-blown addiction. That's where you can't control yourself. That's your majorest, your biggest weakness. The thing that you keep doing that hopefully you're saying, why can't I quit? I don't like me when I'm doing this. But it's the thing that kind of owns you. Just like that tapioca pudding owns me when it's in my refrigerator, sin can own us. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. We have the law. We have it all spelled out for us, all laid out for us. And without it, we wouldn't really know what it is, right? I mean, some of the stuff's obvious, yes, but I think about coveting. I mean, what's the big deal? So I like something that somebody else has. So I want something that somebody, but without God's law, we wouldn't know that we should be content. We should be happy with what it is that God has blessed us with. So we need that. Why do I do what I ought not to, and why don't I do the things that I know I ought to do? There's a picture of Creation Festival from back in the day, and my dream someday is to stand in front of a crowd like that, stand out there and preach. I don't know if I'll ever get to do it or not. I would love to. I think it's awesome. But that whole thing is, why don't I do the things that I ought to do? This is going to sound real crazy. I am Reverend Gregory Lee Hench, Pastor Greg, and I am afraid of a one-on-one conversation with people. I'm not afraid of the conversation. I'm afraid of getting it started. I'm afraid of talking to my neighbor down the street or just a little ways away, saying, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Man, why don't I do the things that I know I ought to do? Why is that scary for me to start that conversation? I honestly think I could stand in front of 50,000 people and don't think I wouldn't be a bit nervous, but I would be pumped. But give me the one person. Man, that's not easy for me. That is not easy for me. I was in Messiah College back in about 1984, and they had movie nights there, and halfway through the movie, they would have a little intermission, and this guy stands up. This guy sitting off to my left stands up. He said, we need to stand up against this. We need to stand up against movies that are being played at our Christian college that has curse words in it, that takes the Lord's name in vain. In it, we need to stand up against this. I am sitting probably about 30 feet away from this kid, and my heart starts pounding. I'm telling you what, I feel like if I'd have looked down, I'd have seen my chest moving out like an inch. My heart was pounding so bad. I'm sitting there. Every part of me knew it should stand up. I should stand up with this guy. I should stand out. But I didn't. I sat there. That was the first time I ever felt what I believe to be the Holy Spirit talking directly to me in a very deliberate way. And I sat there and I did not stand up. You know, this has happened to me about 3 more times in my life. And I was obedient. But I couldn't tell you one of those other things. You know which one I remember? The one I didn't do. How much different might Messiah College look now if I'd have stood up? Because if somebody would have stood with that guy, I bet you more would have stood up. How many people were standing with their hearts poof, poof, pounding? But I didn't stand up. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. That's what I was talking about. We need to know what God's law says. We need to know the difference between right and wrong. Children, just automatically, well, we teach them what is right and wrong, because without that, they would be a mess. This world would be more of a mess. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus was asked this question. Now, the questioning of Jesus was rarely ever informative. Like, hey, I want to learn something from you, teacher. It was usually like, hey, what can we do to trip him up? And so they ask him, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commands. I just recently came across this. Well, what was the original question? The original question, let me just back up to that a second. What's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus then gives these two answers, because he answers it differently at another place in the Bible where he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But he doesn't continue on. But here he did continue on, and he says, this sums up the law and the prophets. He made a distinction here. To love God with everything and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus took 600,000 plus words and reduced them to 19 words. He took the entire whole Old Testament and reduced them to 19 words. Love God with everything and love your neighbor. My brother Scott's got this quote. Says, it's not complicated like everyone thinks it is. It's not. This isn't rocket science. What I'm teaching isn't rocket science. But you know what? It's not. It's not easy. Just like it's not easy for me to start that one-on-one conversation. This stuff's easy, but it's not easy. It's not complicated. Is it natural for you to want to fit in and be accepted? You got to understand, I'm used to speaking to teenagers most of the time. But is it natural? Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to fit in. Anywhere I go, I want to fit in. I want people to think I'm funny. I want people to think I'm caring. I want to fit in. Is it natural? Also, it is natural. It's natural for you to go with the crowd so it's not look like you're standing out like some kind of a weirdo. Oh, we got to start drawing the line there. We can't always be going with the crowd. The crowd is that, are those oatmeal cookies. And they're going to drag you places that you don't want to go. That'll turn into peanut butter pie probably for you. We got to stand up. We got to stand for what's right. Is it natural for you to eventually start doing what everyone else is doing? Absolutely. It's natural. 100%. It is natural to start doing what everybody else is doing. It's natural. It's normal. It is who we are. And if it's not natural, why are so many of you, well, this is what I ask kids, swearing, vaping, lying, viewing porn, doing things that you shouldn't be doing with your boyfriend and girlfriend. Why are you doing that? Because we're natural. We are made of flesh. And our flesh craves, our flesh wants. And when you give in to that, you're giving in to the natural. We are called to be supernatural. We're called to live in the supernatural. We are called to live Christ-like. Romans 7, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. You know what? This is one of the scriptures that brings me so much peace. Because this is the Apostle Paul saying this. I'm not going to use that as an excuse for when I sin, for the things that I do and stuff like that. But to know that he struggled with it. Man, this is one of the, like, what a lot of people look at as one of the most holiest guys throughout all of the Bible, the Apostle Paul. And he's the one saying, I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I am thankful. I am thankful that the Bible is not just filled with a whole bunch of perfection, that there's some ugly stuff in there, because it's what we relate to. I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, probably about 22 years ago now. And there was a conference there for youth workers. I don't remember who spoke. I don't remember the band that was playing. But there I sat in my pew, in my seat. And it was like God came right down my row. It was like he was standing right in front of me. And I am there weeping. I am weeping. I never felt so dirty, so disgusting, so sinful in all my life as I did in that moment. But you know what else I felt in that exact same moment? I've never felt more loved or more forgiven. It was crazy. It was absolutely, you can't duplicate that. But I never felt so disgusting and so loved all at the same time. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Ah, I knew that. In that moment, I knew that verse. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? What a wretched man I am. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is deliverance. There is a way out. There's a battle waging for your war. All right? Hollywood likes to play with this. I do not know if this video is going to play. We'll see. But Hollywood has taken this whole idea and this whole picture of Satan, this idea of demons, and has reduced it, yet is not going to play. So it is the whole idea of, here's the little angel on your shoulder, right? Don't do it. Don't do it, Craig. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. There pops the little devil, right? Oh, this looks like so much fun. This looks like so much. And these two are having a conversation. And they have just taken the idea of Satan and the temptation that is in our lives and made it into this fun little person on the shoulder that can even show off by doing a one-handed handstand in the video. And then the angel's like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's what Hollywood has reduced the true just danger of sin and Satan. So I find, now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. All right? I still got this flesh nature. I still got this desire for the things of this world. But I got Christ living in me. So there's this battle that is just raging within me. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. I delight in God's law because it gives me direction. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. The constant battle, the battle of the flesh and the battle of the spirit. The battle to do right and the battle of the flesh that says, I want this. That looks good. Peanut butter pie, tapioca pudding. It's there. It just seems to always be there. And sadly, it'll be there till the day we die as long as we are in this flesh. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. But in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. that little angel, that little devil? Well, they're kind of a joke, but they're not a joke. There's that battle that rages. So Jesus told two stories, right? He told these two stories tying back into the question, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So this guy asking Jesus this question, what's the greatest law? Jesus gives him that amazing answer. He's like, hey, you answered correctly. But he wanted to justify himself. So he's like, so who's my neighbor? Well, Jesus tells two stories. At one point, he tells a story about the sheep, right? And the sheep runs away, and the shepherd will put the 99 safely away and go find that one sheep. But then he also tells, oh man, okay. But he tells a story also about the selfish young man who God's looking for. But the one where the religious leader wants to justify himself is a story about the Good Samaritan. And after Jesus tells the whole story about the guy getting beat up, and he says, so who stopped to help him? Who was the good neighbor? Who was the neighbor in this? And the guy's like, well, it was the guy that did good. It was the guy that helped him. I saw somebody pointed out recently that it was like the easy answer would have been, oh, the guy from Samaria, right? But the Samaritans were so hated by the Jewish people that it was kind of like, y'all remember back at the fawns trying to say I'm sorry? Did anybody remember that? Anybody? Okay, thank you. All right, so two people watched a good show, right? But Fonzie could not say I'm sorry. If he had to apologize, he'd be like, I'm sorry. He didn't want to say it. I had somebody point out that this religious leader was like that. He didn't want to say the word Samaritan because he hated the Samaritan. He didn't want the Samaritan to be the good guy. And so he's like, the one that helped him, that was the good one. I tell you that in the same way, now looking at these two other stories, the lost sheep and the lost son who took everything, his inheritance from his dad. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. My man that stood up here and did the testimony time and told us, hey, take a little bit of time and make yourselves right with God. I appreciated that. I appreciated that. God wants to hunt us down. God's after us. He wants us to help shove the peanut butter pie to the back of the fridge so that it doesn't bug us. He wants us to shove the tapioca pudding further away so it doesn't control us. I mean, we really want to throw it away, but we really don't want to. And it keeps coming. So he got up, went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So here we have the sinful son. We have the sinful son who, he's going home to his dad with his whole made-up speech, right? Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. And he's got this whole thing. Well, I don't think the kid had the time to get the whole speech out till dad's tackling him with a big hug. Just embraced his son. My son is here. My son is alive. That's a picture of God. That's a picture of God. The religious leader, he didn't want the picture of God to be a Samaritan. He didn't want it to be the enemy, the person that he hates. He wanted to be a Jewish guy. God's pursuing us. Man, we're like that sheep. We're that sheep. We're running off with our tapioca pudding, and God's still pursuing us. We're that kid that took our inheritance, and every day dad's out there on the porch looking out across the horizon, just saying, son, come home, please. Son, come home. I know you got messed up in that tapioca bad. But I want you back. I want you back. We have a God that pursues us. We're going to fight it, people, till the day we die. There's the battle of the flesh and the spirit. Fight for that spirit. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We wish we had it all together. We wish that sin stopped at the cookies. But God, we all have our tapioca pudding and our peanut butter pie. I pray, God, that you would give these folks the desire to fight and turn and pursue you in all that they do. I thank you, Jesus, that you pursue us. Amen.